Action Park Media.
Good morning, everyone. This is such a beautiful episode. If you are interested in finding your alignment with your emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical body, then Sherry is the lady for us. She's so good. And also talking about like finding that trauma and going kind of back to childhood or back to those moments and sort of reframing things. So it's pretty awesome. This is Pretty Depressed with Sherry. I'll kick things off. So I am here with the beautiful Sherry. Now, I have had the most delightful morning watching some of your videos, and I am just so excited to talk to you today. So thank you for being with me.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I watched a little bit of what you do, and I like your style. I really do. So thank you for that. It's refreshing. I'm a little out of the box myself, so...
Good. Yes. All the best people are.
Yes, we are.
Now, tell me a little bit about the Oasis to Zen sort of spa, because is that where you are currently in Vegas, or where are you currently?
Yes. So it's a screen, but this is actually the spa behind me. I were sitting in there, there would be people walking around right now. Okay. So, but this is my relaxation room where I do group events and meditations and some somatic work and some of the mind, body, spirit pieces. I do my coaching primarily online because I have people all over the world and we can do it that way. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not opposed, though. I do have clients that have come through, let's say, having a facial. And the next thing you know, they're talking about their relationship or something. And it's like, ooh, I can't help myself. And then we go in a little deeper and then do some other work. And it's all lovely. So it works. It's all, you know, synergistically works together.
I love that. Sure. From watching your videos today, they're kind of two main topics, but this is not a formatted show. So if you want to drive it somewhere else, please, you have full permission to. But the first thing I wanted to touch on, and I'll give you a bit of background why, is prosperity mindset. It's something I heard you speak in a couple of your videos about, and I'm making an assumption it's similar to like scarcity mindset and abundance sort of mindset. And just a lot of people at the moment, especially in New Zealand, are feeling sort of that clinch financially. I know a lot of my friends here in LA are feeling very stressed about sort of the future of our industry as creatives. And I'm kind of trying to live in this delusional phase where everything's fine or whatever. But I just wondered if you could speak to that, maybe some practical tools or just some advice for anyone who, even out of their best intent, is trying to be positive and trying to be hopeful. There's a lot around us at the moment that's combative to that. And I wondered if you could speak to that from your standpoint.
Yes, I can. And so I'll take the three pieces, the scarcity mindset, the abundance mindset, and then the prosperity mindset, because they are interrelated. Primarily, the abundance and the scarcity sort of describes itself. There's the scarcity, meaning we're in that fear, that state of lack, that there's not going to be enough to go around. Interestingly, the abundance mindset is almost like the pendulum is over here and then it goes over here. There's not enough to go around and I need my piece of the pie. And because I want to be abundant, I'm stressed out and all anxious and everything else because I need to get that piece. Whereas prosperity mindset, which is not simply wealth, because that's what a lot of people think. Well, and even wealth is not just money. So the prosperity mindset is really about there's enough to go around. Like there are infinite possibilities and we say these things. And sometimes when we're not feeling 100%, we might be saying something else in our heads, or sometimes we just have these things happening, right? So the prosperity mindset is that there is enough to go around. There are infinite possibilities. If this pie over here isn't really one that you're getting, you can go to a different spot. And so the mindset piece is really shifting the way we look at the world, and that the transformation takes place when we see ourselves in the world from a different perspective than what we have seen up to this point in our lives. So it could have been from childhood. It could be a number of different reasons. But that, in a nutshell, is what the difference is between the three. And the prosperity has to do with three things, typically, that I have found in having my business for 20 years as an esthetician and energy healer and things of that nature, is that it's usually about relationships. It's usually about your health. There's something wrong. I'm either eating too much, or I'm not sleeping well, or what have you, or worse, I have cancer now, and which is really a wake up call in many times, not always a death sentence now, thank goodness. And we have the wealth, which is money, success, business, but it's also about really having, I don't want to say having it all, because really none of us want it all, because that would be too much. But that used to be the 80s. I'm from that age. Oh, you can have it all. It's like, no. And now I'm trying to get rid of that, because sometimes it still comes in my head. You can have it all. No, I didn't even want it all. Why did I even try? Mm-hmm. But the point being that mindset of what it is that you want and having the balance. And when we are in alignment in our four energy bodies, which is where the energy piece comes into play, because that's what I have been doing for a lot of my career, is then it seamlessly sort of works itself out, because we shift how we look at things. We transform into, most of the time, a different person. Let's be real. Sometimes those things come back into play because life happens, and you know. Yeah.
That's beautiful. that's good. I think it's funny when I think of a prosperity Kim or mindset of what that could look like through visualization, I met with the other piece of the puzzle I wanted to talk to you about today, is this idea of sort of limiting self-beliefs. And I do feel a bit of friction when I'm trying to visualize or think in more of that way of there is enough, like it will happen for you, all of those things that I'm putting all the masculine energy, all the effort into achieve, yet I still kind of have this, we call it being humble in New Zealand, but I don't actually think it serves us, this idea of it won't happen for me, or that fear element is still there as a self-belief. And I wondered if you could speak to that for anyone who perhaps, like myself, is constantly meeting that, even though I'm doing the other parts of the puzzle.
Well, yes. So that is one piece of my grander system, because everybody's different, right? So I have a ton of certifications. I have a master's in early childhood education, by the way, which is when a lot of this took place, right? And I saw it firsthand in the classroom. And I'm not a teacher anymore, because quite frankly, they didn't want what I offered anymore, because I was intuitive and I could really see what the kids needed. And the system here is a whole other animal now. Yeah. And so back to this though, yes, there are some very core beliefs. I'm not enough. I don't matter. Something's about to go wrong. There's some basic ones. And then there are some that are our own, because we make them our own over the years. And so what I do with people is I just ask them, here's how I start a session. What is it you'd prefer not to experience? And then we go do some somatic work, close our eyes, go into relaxed state, not an alternate state. I'm not going to take you to the, unless somebody wants to go to the angels or the this or the that, I honor whatever it is somebody's belief system is. And we go in and we start taking a look at where you feel in your body, what's going on. And then, there's a myriad of ways to go back in time. Usually, sometimes it is all the way to when my first session with my mentor, Lyon Goodman, was in the womb. And I knew I wasn't wanted. And it was the most amazing thing. And what it was is I needed to bring joy into my life, because I left myself in the womb in a sense. I mean, obviously I'm still me, but that whole idea that I wasn't here to be joyful, which is insane, because I'm by my very nature pretty bubbly and outgoing. Yeah. And it was so amazing just to see the process of what happened. And it was really an inner child rescue from the womb. So there is that, right? And it could be as simple as that. And then of course the belief, there's some other things we can do, but basically this is how it all starts. And I don't worry about, you know, I can tell people about how the brain works and neuroplasticity and, oh, are you anxious avoidant or are you this and that? Most people don't care. They just want to feel better. They want those energies aligned and they want to know how to do it. And so they'll start out with, well, I'm exhausted.
I'm only giggling because the big word I wrote in capital letters was, can you explain alignment?
so yes. And really it's the four energy bodies. So I'll backtrack for just
a sorry. Second. Thank you. Just the mental, some of this will be very new.
Yes. The mental, the spiritual, the emotional, and the physical bodies. So those four energy bodies and, you know, chakras are a big deal, right? You know, they've been for a while, but they keep getting more and more popular. But most people that even come into my place, they're like, oh, I want to feel better and have a massage. And I also want that energy stuff. They have no idea what any of that means. But basically, these are just four energy centers or four types of the energy centers that we can call chakras that work with the neurological system and the lymphatic system. And the three of them work together to keep our body in alignment. And when we don't get enough sleep, when we don't eat properly, when we work every day, 80 hours a week, and tell yourself, next year, I'm going to take this vacation. And then our relationships are completely shot because we're not at home or we're not present when we're at home because we're shut down because we're exhausted. And then we're up all night because we're worried about the next day. So this cycle of those four energy bodies not being in alignment, really what happens is they overlap each other to the point of when someone comes to me, I just need to know what is it that you'd prefer not to experience anymore. And then we go in and we identify. It could be a belief. It could be some sort of rescue from childhood. It could be parts work, which is the archetypes, the voices in our head, the committee. Well, okay, this one's saying this right now, like in somatic work, it'll say, actually, can I tell a story about this one? It's pretty funny.
Me too. Yeah.
A man comes to me and I'm a mentor coach with one of the certifications that I have. And the brother of this gentleman sent him to me and he says, he needs help. And so he comes to me, has no idea what I'm going to do. And I got to give him kudos because he went in like,
great.
I'm not woo-woo. I'm not any of this, but I did exactly what I just said. And I had him work somatically and there was a space in his gut that he was feeling and he was describing it and what have you. And we didn't get in there, but like 3-4 minutes and he starts doing this. This is going to probably be so. And he's like literally almost doubling over, like he's having some sort of spasm or.
Yeah.
And I said, what's going on? And he says, I don't know. I feel like I'm being kicked in the gut. And this happens all the time. And it happened to be that in his work, he either had to pull the trigger for the stock exchange or sell or buy. And he right. says, this happens to me at work all the time. And I was thinking, wow, this is going to be fun because it's really fun because we just explore together.
Yeah.
And so I started talking to the area that was bothering him. And so what happened was, is this, and it's him. So this is where it gets kind of funny. So the sensation in his gut says, I'm little Joey. And I said, oh, okay, so are you, because he didn't go by Joey at all. It was a completely different name. And he says, yeah, they called me little Joey when I was a kid. I've been left here. No one ever let me play or anything. And I've been waiting for him to see me. So the only way I can get his attention is when he's at work, I kick him. Now, this is wild, right? But the mind is so amazing that it literally was making him have this response. Now, this is kind of an extreme thing. So the people that are listening, you're not going to necessarily get kicked in the gut, but it might, you know, it's usually much more gentle than that. But he needed that. Yeah. And so we did this whole inner child rescue and he went and took little Joey somewhere else, took him safe. And he did the homework or the home play. I don't really like it homework, but there's some after work, right? So he went and he visited him, and he really integrated this piece into his body so that he was now had that energetic piece that was left behind. In shamanic work, it's called a soul retrieval, but there isn't that place that we work from the neurological nervous system and the you know, vagal system and the trauma piece and all of those things, because we have to be trauma informed in these cases.
Yes.
So that we can make sure somebody is safe. And that doesn't mean we're going to move the needle very much, because it depends on the person and how traumatized, but that piece is first and foremost, because we could just say, you know what, I don't care about you, Joey, or whatever. And then that would have been really bad. So what was interesting is he only came to me one more time, and he's great now. And this has been years and years. And because he came back and we talked to Joey again, and we did, I think there was one belief that we worked through, which is similar, but different work. And then every once in a while, he'll go, hey, wanted you to know we're doing great. And he's now making more money because he was getting kicked in the gut when he needed to pull the trigger on either buying or selling. And he'd go, oh, and then he'd miss it. And, you know, a couple seconds in that world is
a lot.
Is a lot. Yes. And so that is one of the, you know, two sessions. Sometimes it takes longer. I'm still finding things. So I became a clear beliefs coach, which is one of the many pieces. And there's probably 17, 18 things I can do with just that, but that's not the point. It just rolls into where it seamlessly does. Yeah. And the exploration is so amazing, because it doesn't matter what I think, and I shouldn't be thinking anything, because it's all about what the person thinks and how they get to that other side, and then working with themselves when they go home with some strategic action plans to change what the brain is looking at, because the brain, everything's real to it. Okay, you want a new brain? You just let the old mindset, let the old belief, let the old paradigm from centuries of your family saying, well, we're Irish, this is what happens to us, or whatever. And you just kind of, you know, I wish I had a knife or something. Well, that's not really probably something I should have. I'll use it. But you go like, and you create a new path, and you like take little Joey on that path, although it might be something different, until that path is well-worn, and you let all the weeds grow up into the other area where that belief was. And then very rarely do we go there. And when we do, then from the mind, you can go, wait a minute. Oh, I've been here before. No, not happening today.
Not happening.
And it's very simple, very simple. And it all depends on what it is that the person is trying to achieve first. But there's a whole lot of science and a whole lot of, some people would say woo woo with the chakra centers, but they are really, they've been measured. There's a place, I can't remember the name of it offhand because it's been around my head probably about 20 years, but where they've actually measured the frequencies in the body. But when they're all in alignment, that's when you have the joy. That's when you're physically feeling well. You have satisfaction in all areas of your life. So work-life balance. And for me, the biggest thing was joy. I was just at an event, and, you know, they were doing the whole thing. What do you really want? What do you really want? And I said, I want the freedom to do what I want and bring joy into my life and other people. And that was really it. I'm 15 years old. I don't want all the other stuff. I've had it. No, that didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
And they kept doing it. Well, what are you? And I said, I'm standing my ground. This is my boundary right now. You can ask me like it's a torture chamber if you want, but I'm not going to budge. This is what I want. I want to be able to go and see my grandkids that are 2 hours away if I want, that I can take my laptop and stop somewhere in between and do a Zoom session and help someone else and keep going, or whatever. And And it's been a long time coming because I, like I said, recovering codependent. My joke is I came out of the womb and I said, hi, how can I help you? And people said, oh, this. And when I was young, it worked really well. I could satisfy all the teachers and all of the what have you. But as I got older, I was not bitter. I was angry. I was kind of like, hey, because this isn't really what I want to do. And I kept saying yes instead of no, which is the relationship piece sometimes, because, and it's not necessarily spouses, although it can be that. And I've been with my husband 40 years, which is insane. I'm just going to say.
Beautiful.
And my joke is that it's because we didn't pack our stuff on the same day. One of us was in it to win it while the other one was thinking, I don't know what I'm doing here. And so I've been through it all with that too, from the time I'm 17 to 58 and we're still here.
Wow.
So, and it's been about those beliefs and the paradigms and the family, you know, whatever you've been told for centuries. It's really interesting to me how much because I dream about druids and things, which is really weird because I'm like, what are these people? And then I went and I looked one day and I'm like, oh, which is Irish. Mm-hmm. And I have been told so many things about, you know, well, we were just raped and pillaged through the villages and this and that. And I was like, I don't hold that anymore. I mean, because in a sense, I was allowing that same energy in me. Mm. And you know, and I know that my family said those things. And so there's things called a give back ceremony. You can actually give it back to your ancestors, which is really cool. And there's
thank you. No, thank you. Yeah.
Yes. And they actually come forward. It's very magical, is the only thing I can say. It's magical. And they come forward and I'm going, wow, the first few times this happened, and then I'm feeling things and they go, there's like 1,000 people by me right now. Like somebody that's going, what's going on? Oh, those are your ancestors. Oh yeah. They feel like they're my family. Okay. So then we go through the process with the client. And at the same time, the ancestors do it now. Okay. Here's my thing. Someone will go, that can't be real. I don't believe in that. And I go, do you believe that you can make up stuff in your head and that it'll help you feel better? How about we just do that?
Totally. I'm totally on board with that. Yeah.
I'm like, what if this will help you feel better? And you're all throwing it away at once. And then we create something new and different and then solidify that so that you don't have to go back. And if you start to go back, you'll catch it.
Mm.
And
you have to kind of approach all of this with a very open mind, I think. Isn't that, that's part of it, right? That's probably so much of that resistance. And I don't know, I'm sure when, by the time people come to see you, I'm sure they're relatively open because they're coming to see you for that purpose. But.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Some of the most difficult people are the ones that spend all their time up here. I'm so spiritual, and I don't mean that as a negative, but they're up here in these upper chakras, which are very ethereal and very woo woo, and I'm meditating, but they're not grounded. And the parts that where the trauma lies is in the first, second, and third chakras. That's where we have our foundation, our emotions, and our thinking patterns. And then you have the heart, and then this reflects up here those pieces. So. When somebody is super spiritual, sometimes they don't know how to feel because they've checked out of the body. I'm this girl. That's why I can say this with a whole lot of knowing.
Yeah,
because I have to go and get grounded. I have to go walk outside when I do an energy session because I think that I was like that most of my life.
Right.
And so that's why I had all kinds of interesting experiences as a young person. And nobody told me I was crazy and that I'm able to do this intuitive process now because no one told me I was crazy, which I'm grateful for. I don't think they really paid that much attention to what I was saying because they might have thought something different. But point being that when we're so into that ethereal world, we're not really feeling what's in our body. So sometimes I have to take a couple of sessions to really help people start feeling, where is this? Maybe talk about words like, well, what is, like, if I want to grab this pen, what is this pen versus that pen? What does that elicit? Where is that in your body? Which seems very fundamental. But it
But also so easy to, like, when I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety, like, I had all these physical ailments. Like, I had upset tummy all the time. I would have night sweats and stuff. But because, not to sound anyway sexist, but I was like, because I'm a woman, I've watched my mom, you kind of just carry on and do it. Like, I had my body yelling at me that all these things were wrong. I was medicating with sugar, you know, just to keep at a certain level of energy, because I'm wanted to be at a 10 all the time. Heaven forbid anyone sees me in, like, low energy. And so, yeah, I hear what you're saying in the sense of, yeah, when you're not in your body, often you can still function, not well, but still function. So it can be quite easy to go quite a long time without listening to that stuff too.
And all those things are really actually representations of the misalignment in the body, in the energy bodies. Yes. So that sugar. And then what happens? We crash in the afternoon, and then, oh, well, we either have to go grab caffeine or more sugar or more whatever. And instead of eating properly and doing all of the things that will help us, which isn't, it's a little bit different for each person, but there's that piece as well. It just ends up being this whole process of finding out what that person needs and starting as simple as that. And sometimes, you know, the session will get halfway and the person needs to integrate first. So then we step back, because it's been there for, like, for me, some of them probably 58 years, or I would hope not more, unless it was in the womb still some more. But I think that piece is really truly gone, because my mom and I are completely different with each other than most of my life. And I didn't have to take her in and go, oh, she needs to have counseling with me and let's do all of this. And I shifted how I saw her, and it followed with her changing how she saw me.
I am mindful of the time, but just because that ding, ding, ding's and something I'm working through, I struggle with that. Would you mind speaking a little bit more to kind of like how we can't make people change, we can't control people, but if you are with, perhaps it's with a parent or a sibling, if you yourself are like wanting relationship or wanting something different, would you mind speaking briefly to like how we can make some positive change within ourselves in that? If it sounds like a journey that you've done.
Yes. And so what's interesting about this is at the end of the day, it will be about whether or not you may not get what you want, but are you okay with what you are getting? And is it an improvement? So like with my mom, so she was 16 in her defense of, and my grandmother was schizophrenic. Yeah. And so she brought me home into this lovely world. And I have my own memories from really, really small, like two for sure. Mm. And there were just inconsistencies and things of that nature. And I really just took it on very young that I have to make sure everybody is okay. And then I have my brother who's 2 years younger than me, then a sister who's 6 years younger, and a brother who's 8. So they came along and I tried to take on what I felt needed to be done to help protect them. And no one asked me. And so my mom and I have had that conversation. She says, I didn't ask you. I said, I know, but I felt like I had to do this. Mm. And I don't really know what happened. I can't pinpoint, like, they didn't do drugs and they didn't do, but there was some dysfunction because of the past and what they brought into the relationship and my mom and my dad and all of those things. Right. So I did what many people would do. I just sort of went off on my own. Moved out when I was 17. I was Miss I'm going to do it all, and I'm so amazing, and it worked till it didn't, and I was really burned out. So I had to take a look at my mom and myself, because that was a big piece of it. And so what happened was, by going back in and seeing different pieces of my life and how I saw those, which were not necessarily the same as what my mother was seeing.
Mm.
And almost like coming in as an adult and seeing yourself as a child and going through that process, and then being able to come out from your adult self, help the younger child, help them become integrated with you, whole with you. I have a whole group of inner children that are all little Sherrys that play with each other in this pretend backyard that's in not where my grandma, where my grandmother lived, but it's the one that only we get to go to. And my grandma gets to go there because I was there every summer. So they're over there and I visit them on a regular basis. And 12-year-old is helping little 2-year-old and it's really neat. So I go in there and I still make sure everybody's okay. And of course, really all in my head, but because the brain doesn't know the difference. Back to that. So what has happened by doing my own work, I was able to start setting boundaries, because my part was I did not set boundaries. I kept doing what I thought everybody needed from me. And for a while, it wasn't pretty. And now I will say, we've had a few people die in the last 6 months and stuff, because my family's of the age that they're getting older. And my mom's the last one standing from her family lineage. So there's just those of us that are younger. We can collaborate. And if there's like the other day, my sister and my mom were like sitting on each side of me and they were talking. So like, I said, just hold on. I'm trying to process this and I cannot quite hear you guys and process. And my mom says, well, that's what we're trying to tell you. I said, I know, but I'm getting slapped in the face with the energy. So just hang on for a minute and lower your voices. And I knew they were simply heightened and excited, but anxious really, because of course my mom carried the torch as well. Mm-hmm. And I was able to say that. And my mom said, whoa, wow. And then she moved back because she knew. And so that to me was such a win.
Yeah.
Because that's not where we came from.
Beautiful.
And that's not how either of us saw things. And she has changed as well. Yeah. And somehow that happens because, you know, they say every action has a reaction. And sometimes it might be, well, I can't come around this person anymore.
Mm.
There was a time when I would leave, where my husband and I were struggling, and when it was bad, I would just go take 3 or 4 days and go to the hotel and say, you need, you're on time out.
Yeah.
But then I did my work and eventually, you know, now we're good again, because 40 years is a long time. And you bring a lot of things when you're 17 and 19 to the table in the first place that you didn't even look at.
So, I can't even imagine.
So everyone is unique and different, but there is a way to get to an outcome that's going to give you peace, even if it isn't what you want. In this case, it was definitely a win.
Yeah.
And in sometimes it's been that people have had to go away, and that's just the way it is. And because they weren't willing to do any, there was no compromise, and it was still, well, I want you to do this. And I'm like, well, I can't.
Mm.
I can't.
No, I really thank you for sharing. I'm really, really appreciative of that. I think it's both hopeful. Well, I actually think it is really hopeful. I think it does feel like, I think especially a lot of my audience who's kind of like, and myself, open and curious to kind of doing the work and being better. And it does kind of highlight the people in your life who are stagnant or stuck or unwilling, unable to even consider, you know, that there's a different way or there's a way to grow or be curious about that. And I think sometimes that can be really challenging if you're in relationship or family or whatever, with that kind of resistance for growth. Can be tough.
Yeah. And when they're in resistance, the best we can do is do our own work and be that example. It's maybe slower and they may not come full circle, they might melt some of the resistance or not, because the resistance is what the creation cycle is all about. And you have to discreate something in order to create something new and better. And then there's that resistance in between there.
Yeah.
That it might take a while, but this has been much longer than my training, of course, because I was trying to figure this out all along. And if I keep it to myself, then there's no point in any of it, right? I have to share. And interestingly, and just for anybody that wants to know, I'm not that healthy. I have a score of 89 on a PTSD score that I received in 2019 and things like that, because I was still doing some of these things, and I crashed and burned when my friend died. And that was like a big T for me. That trauma was a big one.
Yeah.
And it went right back to childhood of not having any friends and this and that. And so there's hope. And that's the beautiful thing, however it needs to be. And so
I feel like I could just sit and...
Yes, we could talk
about
everything. I love this work.
And I'm so mindful of, I've already gone over your allocated time, but thank you so much. And if people want to, you know, book a session with you or just learn a little bit more about this, where's the best place for them to go?
So I have my website, sherripetroni.com, which is, I don't know if you, C-H-E-R-I-P-E-T-R-O-N-I. I actually have a video series, and I believe it's /energy opt-in, mm-hmm. /opt-in. And if you can't find that, just send Sherri@sherripetroni.com and I will send it to you, because so is that what you watched?
Yeah.
Cool.
I was actually watching your Instagram video.
Oh, okay.
Lives and stuff. And I was just like, I wrote down, oh my God, so many notes, none of which we got to, but that doesn't matter. We'll do part two at some time. But yeah, thank you so much, Sherri. I'm really appreciative.
Thank you. This was really enlightening for me. Sometimes there's not the openness, and this is very much appreciated, because this is how the dialogue really is best when it's this way. I really appreciate that I was able to share this with you today.